Just pushing the phones right up to the limits. This has been a crazy day today. I wound up doing an hour and a half with Robbie, and phones are ringing the whole time I'm on with him. Had people to call back, and just shortly before showtime, I got a call from a gentleman who been kind of emailing back and forth and said he wanted to spend a few dollars on some silver and gave him his options. He said, well, I really like junk, but you've been telling us all week we're out. Well, I got him two bags. And this is 30 seconds before we had to get on the air. So, bang, it's Wednesday. Welcome to another hour of Life, Liberty, and all that jazz. Jeff Bennett here behind the mic for the next hour, more as a host than anything else, and glad to be here with you live on this 10th day of August. Man, 2011 right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Obviously, we have watched another bloodbath on Wall Street today. We've watched a bloodbath that has certainly helped elevate gold that much further. There was a point in time today that we were over $1,800 in intraday trading. Here, now, in the after hours, gold stands at $1,802.70 an ounce. And it wasn't all that long ago. It was still in the 1500s. We're talking weeks, people. The Dow took another 520-point bloodbath today. NASDAQ down 101, S&P 500 down 52, Global Dow down 57. Hey, I like that. Man, gold's higher than the Global Dow. Just hit 1807, $1,807 an ounce. Oil off $1.72 to close at $81.17 a barrel. So gold soars. Silver did not have a bad day. You know, we'll run the percentages, we'll figure out what's what, and we'll do what we have to do. How many different boards are we going to run here, guys? I got three boards open up here. All right, now we're going to have this one, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, hey, bye, Manny. I've got too much going on. I don't know which board we're using. Anyway, it's Wednesdays. You know what that means? It doesn't mean it's howdy doody time. It means Wednesdays with Roger, and he'll be here with us. In just a moment or so, we're going to go to a break here in a moment. When we come back, well, we're going to answer some of the marvelous emails we've received throughout the week. Roger's certainly going to have some other comments. We might even touch on something that's been referred to over the years as the missing 13th Amendment. Stay with us for another hour of Life, Liberty, and all that jazz.
A bitter path that comes with a happy tune is your step. Life can be so divine, right up the sun is.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org. or call 908-691-2608 today.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Yeah, just take me on down to Duke's Place. Interesting headline came out a little while ago. Ann Coulter is now being referred to as the Queen of Fabulous. She has apparently been named the honorary chair and gay icon of an advisory council for an organization called GOP Proud, which is a radical homosexual organization. That's their business. But I said, in fact, I went to the column when I read it, and I actually left a column on there that said, or comment that said, well, I always thought she was a guy in drag anyway. And, of course, Granny came back with her comments about the comment. Anyway, we got better things to talk about tonight. It's Wednesday. Roger Sales, welcome back as always.
Well, it's always a pleasure, especially when the world is exploding and coming down around our ears everywhere, seems like.
Yeah, it seems to
Ann
be.
Ann Coulter, huh?
Ann Coulter. Well, you know, she's always on that show late at night called Red Eye, which is, you know, a pseudo-satirical so-called NewsHour thing. But it's you know, very much like some of the other late-night programs. They all seem to be promulgated by the Barney Frank persuasion.
So and, she's like the female of the Lincoln Log Republicans now, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, I'd say so. Absolutely. But I, you know, it's like I said to Granny. I mean, the gal's got no chest, no butt, long little boy gangly legs. And I was never sure she was a gal anyway. I mean, you know, it's just she might be a, quote, guy in drag.
Well, you know what Eleanor Roosevelt said, small minds talk about people, so let's talk about concepts.
Well, that's true, too. But then, now, we're talking about that funny stuff, and you bring up Eleanor Roosevelt. Let's move on.
Yeah, well, on the conceptual side.
Yes, yes.
So,
yes.
Wow, what a week, man. I mean, you know, I don't even have a television down here. I catch a little bit occasionally when I'm out and around. And I was seeing on some of the Spanish feeds all of the mayhem in England. And, of course, I've caught all of the running commentary on the different networks about it, the radio networks. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like a Mel of a Hess over there.
I think there's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, as Robbie and I were talking earlier when I was on his program, that, you know, the big buzz right now is England. But you look back at this year, which is, you know, not even 8 months old yet, and the riots that have been taking place all over the world. First, it started with Egypt, with a bunch of youngsters who basically said they'd had enough of Mubarak. They started these rallies, which just grew to be millions and millions of people. It was all apparently started on the Internet. And all they were demanding was a change. They wanted Mubarak out. They had no idea who or what to replace him with. They said, nah, put the military in there. And, you know, it kind of sounds like, of course, Greece has had their problems, and France is certainly going to have theirs. Now we're looking at England. And yet we've got these flash mobs that are cropping up all at various malls and places around this country. Now, flash mobs, not to the extent that they're currently going on in London, but methinks that what's going on is that the little guy around the world has just about had a damn enough.
Well, it's interesting. You know, you say talk about it starting in Egypt this year and over the Internet, and I know that these newer technologies and newer sites have had a lot to do with that. And I wonder how much of that is CIA, you know, Mossad inspired, and how much of it is
absolutely
real and genuine.
I have no doubt.
It seems to me like they're setting up the Mideast for this powder keg World War III that seems to be almost inevitable for them and for us. Because traditionally it's the way they get themselves out of these financial messes that they get in intentionally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And is Syria going to be the next spearhead that they're going to use to light the fuse and potentially use as a gateway into Iran? I was talking to another RBN host, Lewis. We've been having some regular conversations lately on all this stuff, and telling him that we had a small, several thousand people, evidently, next door over in Chile that surrounded the presidential palace, and they were having a kiss in, and it got, which I thought was a pretty good protest, actually, and it got a little out of hand, and they threw a few hundred people in jail over there. So, I mean, you've got this stuff, like you said, cropping up all over the world. Let's not forget last year where it really started in Iceland. And I think that's a wonderful example, because initially I told people that Iceland was the canary in the coal mine, and look what they've done. They bucked the system. And if they're a canary in a coal mine and they were leading, I would think that, and hope at least, and possibly even pray that they're going to be the remedy for the rest of the world in some instances, and to tell these bankers to, you know, put it where the sun don't shine.
Well, you know, you talk about the Middle East situation, and you know, it's interesting how everything always seems to turn back to Iran. And most people in this country never really heard of Iran until the Ayatollah Khomeini and Jimmy Carter, et cetera, et cetera. But it is interesting that Iran has kind of also been one of the boogeymen for this past 20-some, almost 30 years now. And everybody keeps pointing fingers that they're going to be the keg that's going to blow off. But I still, unfortunately, have to look at our alleged friend, although they're no friend of mine, Israel. And I get this email from this group called the Liberty Council. I don't know who they are, but they are so stinking pro-Zionist, it's sickening. Although they're so stupid, they don't realize that they don't understand the difference between, you know, Jews and Zionists, et cetera, et cetera. So they send this thing out today. It says 26 Democrat members of the U.S. House of Representatives converged on Jerusalem Monday. The question in everyone's mind, whose interests will they advance, Obama's or Israel? I hate to say this to anybody, and it's going to tick some people off. It is the only thing that Obama has ever discussed that I have happened to agree with. It's time to stop paying this favored status to Israel and realize who the amongst the real enemies are over in that part of the country. They are the powder keg. They are the catalyst that is keeping that whole part of the world stirred up. And yet here we got all these idiots. The article goes on to say over the next few weeks, 81 more members of Congress will head to Israel for meetings with Netanyahu and Shimon Peres. You know, it's kind of working around what you were talking about, but this stuff angers me. They're going to Israel to get their pockets lined with U.S. taxpayer dollars so that they can come back to this country and do the bidding of Israel. What a round-robin deal.
And get some more taxpayer dollars that the loans are never paid back. Actually, you know, I think I've come to the conclusion that Israelis are nothing but the alter ego of the U.S., not the USA, but the U.S., the banking corporation-controlled entity that they use as a platform to control the world. And it's a wonderful alter ego because then it doesn't necessarily reflect on us as much as it reflects on them, and they get to stir up the hatred of Jews, the real Jews, and then they get to do like the Southern Poverty Law Center and go to the real Jews and soak their money saying they're going to protect them against the people that hate the Jews because they stirred up the whole pot in the first place. And
absolutely,
it's a classic formula of Hegelian dialectic.
Very much so. So, and you know, it's interesting. Some years ago, I was here at this network. A gentleman began to listen to my program. He, at the time, was in his very early 80s. He is a World War II vet who happens to be of Jewish descent. And he began to listen to my programs regularly. I left this network, went elsewhere. He followed me. I have done some pretty intense programs about the Middle East, specifically about Israel, also about Jews and their real history, and exactly how even the Jewish people, those who call themselves Jews, have been manipulated by their own leaders, the Zionists. And they have fallen for it, hook, line, and sinker. And one day I got a marvelous email from him thanking me for having put these facts in the manner that I did, because he said now he understood. And I tell you, that is what I call a victory, Raj. And
I agree
with
that.
It's the kind of victory that we look for.
And he's these are big questions, and we've covered this a lot from the very start. You know, I was looking, you were talking tonight about it being August the 10th, and I was thinking as you were saying that, man, we started this back in April on the 4th, 5th, and 6th. And I know we've built up quite an audience. I know we've educated a lot of people. I know that we're going to continue to have an effect. We're going to talk a little bit more about that before the evening's out. It's interesting. One of the things that I've hammered on a number of times is that the Sun Tzu, you know, the art of war, and the fact that if you don't know your enemy and you don't know yourself, you don't have any chance of winning any battle. And, and you know, we don't know who we are, and we don't know who they are. Just last week, I was listening to a popular morning show on another network, and they had a Jewish evangelist on there who's messianic Jew, which means he's accepted Christianity and Jesus. And he was talking about the Old Testament and the Jewish part of the Bible and the fact that, you know, we got our religion from theirs. And if you really want to get into it and study this stuff, you know, the word Jew, well, first of all, they didn't even have a J in the alphabet until something like 1100. It was a Y before that. It was called Judah. And if you go back even further, and you'll find out that Jews were only of the tribe of Judah and possibly Benjamin, because those were the southern tribes that were taken into Babylonian captivity. And it was all the other tribes, Levi and Dan, etc., that were in captivity with the Assyrians. And when they were released, they mysteriously disappeared, supposedly, and they're still lost, the lost tribes. And, of course, if you can go back and do your homework, you'll find that, you know, it very looks like those people crossed a mountain range that separates Europe from that part of the world called the Caucasus Mountains, like Caucasian, perhaps.
Right.
And that those were the different tribes that settled the countries of Europe. And now you start wondering who are these people? And if you look into the Khazar, for those of you who are new into this, I know that we probably have some new listeners, and you want to stick that in a search engine. That's Khazar. And stick that in a search engine. Khazar. And read historically about those people. And then you might flip open any of your Bibles over to Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. And if you have a red letter Bible, you'll find that those words are attributed to Jesus himself. And both of those verses say, the Jews who call themselves Jews but are not, they lie, they're of the synagogue of Satan. So I don't know how you want to stick all that together and what kind of a conclusion you want to come to. And that's certainly up to you, but it certainly seems that there's an awful lot of irrefutable evidence there that's historical and factual.
Well, it's interesting you bring this up. As you will recall, back in the early part of the last decade, around 2001, 2002, I was privileged to do a couple of series in one of my former on-air lives, and one of them was a two-part series, which, once again, with my twisted sense of humor, I named most of my series after old movies, and this particular one was called Cast a Giant Shadow, because, in effect, that is exactly what these people have done, cast this massive shadow over the entire globe. And it took me almost 6 months for this entire series to be heard because, Roger, the fact that the first one was so profound, and it dealt with the journey of the Khazars and there's maps. Now, several weeks ago, I offered here on the air complete copies of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion and Henry Ford's work. And, of course, Ford's work was so intense, it would have been insane for me to try to transmit all of that. So I wind up sending links out. However, the script that I used for that two-part series, Cast a Giant Shadow, and its subsequent follow-up program called Touch of Evil, I actually have that entire transcript, and it ties a lot of these different things together that you just brought up. So if anybody wants it, yeah, I'll send it out tonight, not a link, but the actual transcript. Send me an email to gold@republictradinggroupinternational.com. Just request Shadow Transcript. And I will send that out. It will amaze you. And Roger, for years I had been admonished because I would not touch upon, quote, the Jewish subject. That angered me because so much of that and so many of the people that kept pushing me on that, it really had some personal agendas that I did not have. I tend to wait and hold back until I can bring some truly historic, accurate documentation to the foray. And that's what this will do. And it's a read that won't take you very long, probably take you an hour or so, hour and a half maybe, but you'll find it well worthwhile. So I'll be glad to shoot that out to folks.
I'd kind of like to pat you on the back, man, because you and I have known each other for a long time now and been friends for a long time. For those of you who don't know, Jeff and I really met for the first time, even though I'd listened to him for years on shortwave, way before, back when him and Robbie were doing this little dog and pony show for the Viking people.
Right, right.
Switching nights, man.
Yeah, that's
and,
it.
We really met when I was stumbled into Silverlon, and I was the guy that brought Silverlon to the entire world, kind of, at least with any kind of publicity and fanfare, and ended up ran into Jeff at one of the first expos, the one in Charlotte where there was a hurricane and kept a lot of the people away, and it was a super hot product because it was new, and it's still a wow product. And we ended up doing shows together, and you were a vendor for that product for a while. And that's kind of how our relationship started. And I would sell it out of your booth, and we started hanging together at the expos. And what I wanted to tell the audience, though, without going into too much of that background and beating that horse too hard, is Jeff is one of the hardest working guys in Patriot show business. Okay, for those of you who are new to this, I've just heard him get on here and pontificate with stories and some of his zany out of left field sense of humor type pontifications. This guy has done some.
Don't go there. Don't go to Moraine.
He's done some great things, like this cast a giant shadow, or castrate a giant shadow, or something. But he has done some really, really good in-depth productions with CDs and written things. And Jeff's to be complimented on how hard he works, all right? And that's totally unsolicited. So anyway, we go way back, and you owe a lot to Jeff for giving me a shot at something I've been wanting to and trying to do for many years, which is get a platform to get the information that I was taught and that I've lived these many years out to the public. And I guess maybe we ought to quit chewing on the fat here and get into that, since we only have an hour a week. I wanted to say where we ended up last week, since we were on this Jewish issue about the accurate accounts out of Germany in World War II, are that Germany was offered $3 million for the release of all of the Jews that they had in captivity. And because the Germans were so already in cahoots with the Zionists and the radicals, and the fact that I have read that the Star of David, the blue Star of David, flew underneath the Nazi flag all over Germany in those years. And if you go back once again historically, you can find that Adolf Eichmann visited Palestine. It wasn't Israel. It was Palestine back That's right. then, way before it was ever founded by these radical Zionists, and that they said, no, don't let them go. Give us this small group over here. And that was the Irgun and the Stern Gang. And as we touched on last week, Michael Chertoff's father and Rahm Emanuel's father and all of these, I don't even want to call them leftists. I want to call them just out and out radical Bolsheviks that absolutely. Were released from Germany and sent down there and allowed to go down there and terrorize those poor people that they're still terrorizing and murdering that had been there for 2,000 years. So enough of that history, but we did touch on that last week, and I thought it was important. One of the things I wanted to talk about last week, and we ran out of time, was what do they do all this for? Okay? And the name of the game, and these are questions that I had when I first got into this, and through all of my early reading, I came upon some of the answers, touch on some things probably some of you old-timers will remember tonight. And one of the things I learned through a book called Goodbye April 15th, that was a very formative book in my early years of studying all of these things, or written by a guy with a nom de guerre of Boston Tea Party, who I think you and I both met at some of the expos. I won't use his name, but he's a heck of a good guy and a good writer, and very prolific, wrote a number of books that covered all of these different subjects and topics. But one of the things in that really excellent book, Goodbye April 15th, I still have a T-shirt of that, by the way, quite a collector's item, was the reason they take over governments is because their whole deal is monopoly. Monopoly yeah, you're right. is the way Absolutely. They control. And if you'll control. Go back That's and think about, of the statement, I don't want to step on you. I feel like we're stepping on each other.
No.
What were you going to say, Jeff?
No, you go ahead. We may be tripping a little bit. You just keep going.
You know, the statement that's attributed to John D. Rockefeller, that competition is a sin. And of course, they want to control everything, and that is what monopoly is. And the reason they take over governments is because then they can monopolize everything. Not only do they have a chance to monopolize this monetary supply, but they can set into force and effect regulatory systems like you have up there in spades, and they can squash their competition. They don't, by controlling the money system, they don't let anybody, and having this tax system that's so onerous, burdensome, and antiquated, they can control whoever gets any kind of capital underneath them that might even consider possibly be a threat in the future.
Ooh, I hear the music, man. You got to hold it. We get back.
Oh, with the music.
Half hour. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Snuck up on me, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees. Just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 0232.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Hey, baby, that'd be some mellow tunes. Welcome back to a Wednesday with Roger on Life, Liberty, and all that jazz. We've really gotten off in some interesting directions today, but you know, honestly, based on the response we're getting email-wise right now, I think we're striking a chord, brother.
Well, this is real important information. I mean, this is half of that Sun Tzu formula, if there's people that are new and don't know this stuff, because, you know, it's not like it's like nothing is like what it seems. It's like Pat Shannon's book title, Everything They Ever Taught Me Was a Lie.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
So a little plug for
Pat. Speaking
of
Pat and I have been playing phone tag for a week. And it's crazy. I think sometimes he calls me and doesn't leave a message. He finally left a message today, but he was on the road, and I've been on the phone nonstop all day. So I'll get together with Patrick.
He's a hard-working dude, man, for his age. The point I was going to get to here with this monopoly thing is this is how they control, if you want to kind of take it as a bowl, putting a bowl down over, boom, and just controlling everything. That's why they take over these governments, and then they can control, like with all of this all of this stuff on the drug smugglers. You know, they can ship guns to the gangs inside the states that pay them their cut. That they're in cahoots with to go squash the other rival gangs that aren't paying their cut. So, hey, I mean, it's a devilish system, as anybody with any kind of morals and ethics can see. But I thought the one of the points I wanted to make in this, it's always stuck with me from reading a number of Eustace Mullins's books. And Eustace, one of the great patriarchs of our entire industry. Once again, for those of you who are new and don't know anything about Eustace Mullins, you can find some of his books on the Internet for free. And he was the first one to write a book about the Federal Reserve. And his whole history was very interesting on how he backed into this, obviously guided by the hand of the Lord. Ended up writing that book, sent it to 23 different publishers. 23 publishers accepted it, and the next day called back and canceled. And he ended up having to take it and get it published in Germany. And as on pallets getting ready to be shipped back into the U.S., it was seized by the German government. And is the only book still to this day that's been burned in Germany since Hitler in World War II. Wow. So it's he wrote a number of books, The World Order, etc., a great one on the law, a wonderful one on medicine called Murder by Injection. He's got some wonderful works, but one of the ones I read, as it pertains to the point I was trying to make here, is, and I'll ask you this question, Jeff, since you're my sidekick here, man. Do you know what the world's first monopoly was? Now this, this according to Eustace. Now,
it doesn't ring a bell with me.
It was so shocking to me that I've never forgotten it, and it'll strike a chord with many of you. The color purple.
Really?
They cornered the market on the color purple and jacked the price up, and that's why it was always considered a royal color, because only the royalty could afford it.
How interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought that was important to go into and certainly worth the time. We got a very interesting letter from a gal, and I want to look at it here if I can find it real quick. I'm not as ambidextrous as our friend Jeff is here, so I've got to dig it up. And I wanted to go into it and answer a couple of her questions. And the first thing I've got to do is find it, isn't it? Here it is. And it says, okay. And this is from a really nice lady. I wrote her a reply back and told her we'd address this tonight. It says, hi, Roger. Here's some of the questions I've been waiting on your book to answer. We'll come back to that in a minute. We realize it's very imperative to get this done as soon as possible. Yes and no, depends on your situation and your motivation. My husband presently has no formal identification that can be hindering, that can be hindering since many transactions ask for your ID. Well, this lady's name is Francine. Francine, she's from a state in the upper Midwest. Francine, the first thing I would say is this. You might consider going to your state and seeing about the state ID that they have. If you wanted to do an affidavit ahead of time, and we'll discuss your questions in a second, you could utilize this to ascertain your husband a picture ID. And if it's like the one that I got from the state of Florida, it's all hologrammed up and stuff and with a picture on it, and it's suitable for any Patriot Act requirement as far as I could tell. So that's just a suggestion to you. It says, do married women have to state their maiden name on the affidavit or their affidavit? I honestly don't know. You know, this is, and as I've told the audience many times, a lot of the things we cover here, you're going to be plowing new ground. I don't have all the answers to this. We went through this exercise 20 years ago, almost. And the feds were so freaked out about it that they, within just a few months of these teachings starting to get out there, they were so petrified of it that they raided the office in Las Vegas with 26 or 27 armed with M16 IRS CID agents and held everyone there at gunpoint for 8 hours, wouldn't even let them go to the bathroom, and took all the files and filing cabinets and computers, et cetera. So they ended up putting John and Glenn, the main teachers of these difficult-to-understand laws of citizenship, up in Club Fed for a total of 14 and a half years on trumped-up charges and perjured testimony. So Anyway, I don't know the answer to that. I would think, just to give you an answer, I would think it couldn't hurt to put it in there. And I think anybody that's going to do one of these and feels so inclined and motivated, you should be as specific as possible in the specific areas that you address, and certainly identifying yourself being a woman that's gone through marriage and had a name change, I don't think it could hurt. I'll put it that way. Number two, if I'm not a landowner, do I still file the affidavit on the tax rolls? Well, first of all, let's get our nomenclature right here. It's the property roll. And the property rolls is where they file property because, yes, they tax you on it, and it's also where the IRS files their liens, and that's a dead giveaway. And what I would say is you want to file it there because really what they've done to you, and this is why I ask people to make this information yours, not all the super specifics but the general concepts. It's very important for a number of reasons. You want to file that on the property rolls because you're telling them in an affidavit form on the property rolls that you're not their property. And they've got to go back and rebut that. And the reason you put it on the property records is not only that, but because the property records are public. And you're fulfilling the first half of the definition of a very important phrase, which is due process. And due process, which is the underpinning of all law, especially ours, is notice and the right to be heard. And you're giving them notice in affidavit form, properly executed, properly documented, and properly filed, that you are making a public declaration, which is your right under the law of nations to dictate your own political status and file it in the proper place, that you are not their property under this bogus 14th Amendment and this trickery of bringing feudal law in and having people volunteer into a actual position of slavery. Not just tax slavery, not economic slavery. A 1,000 years of established law in Europe and England, it is actual slavery. Okay, and you're making a public declaration that that is not your status, and then you're giving it the right to be heard. And the right to be heard is for anybody that can rebut that in affidavit form, properly executed, to rebut it. And if they can rebut that statement, then their affidavit stands. And if not, yours does.
Interesting.
That answered pretty good?
Yeah, you know, it does, but you brought up a couple questions here, and you talked about being virgin territory. And it dawned on me that as our listeners begin to enter this interesting new world, as it were, and it would be very helpful to you and to others to, as Dave has done, as Joe has done, to get back with us and let us know exactly the progress and how they have been able to overcome some of these issues. And she may be the person that is able to go in there and take the necessary steps and get the proper answers. And it would be interesting to be able to put that together as an addendum in the future, not as a necessarily cut and dry, gee, here it is, but here's what worked for one person. Here's how they handled it. And that certainly is where, look, we don't win these battles unless we work together and share our success and or failures so that the next person goes in can work around those failures to ensure that they do not.
Well, it's the old cliche about the pioneers, and the pioneers are always the ones that take the arrows. And in many respects, that's true. I'd like to think that as we get this project up on my side and we get a website up, and I'm going to come back and talk about this book here in a second, that we might have a blog on the side where we can do like an FAQ and answer some of these questions, because I know for every one of these questions, like Francine has here, that there's hundreds and maybe thousands and maybe even eventually more than that of people that will have these same questions. And, of course, we're dealing with a situation here with a government that's totally out of control, that realizes that they've been made, if you want to use street language here, and it's obvious that they've accelerated their agenda, and that's good and bad. Certainly, I think in the long run, as Bob Chapman would say, good, because the more they accelerate their agenda, the more mistakes they make. And the more they do stupid stuff like raid a raw milk private club in California and pour milk down the drain when a half a block away there's a unit that has a homeless starving people in it and they're pouring perfectly good food down and that starts making the news, they start waking up more and more people which heretofore have been unawakable. Okay? So those are the circumstances in which we live, and I don't know about all of these things. I know there's warrior types that are going to do this, but I say the first thing is to educate yourself, and I'm grateful to Francine for giving me these opportunities with these questions to go over them again. So before we get shorter on time, let me plow ahead here. It's important that it be filed on the property rolls, I think. That Pete, the guy that precedes me on Wednesday nights with John, they use a process when him and the gal Joyce that just recently passed on a couple of weeks ago, God rest her soul. Their method was one that was pioneered by a gentleman up in Pennsylvania named Lee Brobst. And Lee's idea was to publish it in the paper, in the legal organ of where you live, 3 days in a row. And that may work. I don't know. I did that along with this. But I know the affidavit worked, and I don't know about that. And the question I would always, like an old salesman, answer a question with a question, I would say, well, does the IRS file their liens in the newspaper? Seems to me they file them down at the property rolls.
Okay? Yeah, I don't think the IRS does them in the newspaper.
No, I'm being facetious.
Okay? Oh, okay. So, well, hey, you never know. You listen, you know, we say that, we say we're being facetious, but just to interject, a piece came to me an hour or so ago. I don't even know if I can find it right away, but apparently there may have been an executive order signed by Obama, which is now going to begin to force the government, and how the government has possession of these, I don't know, to begin liquidating to investors up to 92,000 homes that are currently in possession of the government. How'd the government get a hold of 92,000 homes?
By the banks dumping that paper back on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot. Fannie and Freddie are in trouble. They got caught with, well, Fannie got caught with her pants down, and Barney liked that.
Well, they were the recipients of this, which one's the pee under game, with the old shell game. And, you know, they wrote all this stuff up, they chopped it up, they put it under CDOs, they rammed it into pension funds and stuff all over the world and sold it to bogus investors. And when they got caught, they came back and dumped it over on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which I'm sure was probably the plan back at the end of the 30s when those corporations, semi-governmental, were set up. Did you know, by the way, that before the Great Depression that there were no 30-year mortgages in the U.S., Jeff?
No, I knew that. That was something quite new. And when did that begin? The 50s, didn't it?
Yeah, right. Well, after the Great Depression, they started setting this up. I think it was probably in the 40s, but it may have been the 50s. But the important point is, previous to that, there were only 10-year mortgages that were ever available. And the interesting point is, that's the way it is here in Argentina, by the way. So back to our questions from Francine. And it says, in your affidavit, you state that your parents were both white. How would someone make this statement if American Indian blood was in their heritage? This person's great-grandmother was an Indian. Well, my great-grandfather was full-blooded Indian, too. So if you want to go back, we talked on this and touched on this earlier in one of the programs. Actually, the American Indians are the true sovereigns. That's why you got all of these gambling outfits on all these Indian reservations. before they got into treaties, they couldn't even be citizens of the United States under the 14th Amendment. And the proof of that is a Supreme Court case called Elk, like the animal, E-L-K, versus Wilkins, W-I-L-K-I-N-S, back in the 1800s. And it had to do with an American Indian who came off the reservation and tried to register to vote. And the registrar wouldn't let him vote and wouldn't let him register. And he ended up taking that case to the Supreme Court, and they said, heck, man, you're a sovereign. Okay, so it's interesting. So,
well, you know, it seems to me
let's
that,
see, the next question, are all five pages necessary? No. Can or how does one edit it, like you have mentioned others have done? And what are the absolute pertinent facts that cannot be or should not be left out? Well, I think if, once again, and my motivation here is to educate the people and to make them aware. And I keep saying, try and make this information yours. And I don't mean all of the little section, go read all those section codes and memorize code. I mean the general concepts of what's been done. And I say that for several reasons. Is that music?
That is music. We got to go to a quick break here. We'll be right back. Just a few moments.
There ain't nothing I can do or nothing I can say.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Purposes the fact that we're running out of time, I'm going to kind of cut the music a little short. That, of course, was the opening bars of Mel Torme and Barry Manilow. Roger, I'm going to turn over the last few minutes. Just keep on rolling with where we're at. Where'd you go?
Sullivan on Sunday nights, plates out there, and get all those plates spinning on those sticks and go around and have about 50 plates spinning. That's the way Jeff and myself lately to some extent have been. Anyway, back here to your Francine, your questions. Are all 5 pages necessary? No. We had a guy on one night, one of my first people that really responded from South Florida, Senor Zorro. And Zorro did have 1 year of law school, and he'd been in this for a few years, and he trimmed that down to 1 page. And they had no problem with it. He went ahead and filed it. He saved himself 4 pages of filing fees and sent it off to the State Department and got his passport and a little passport pocket card, too. So what are the important facts? I think just the fact that you're declaring what you are not. You don't go around. I think that's one of the big problems that our movement's got is these people running around going, I'm a sovereign, I'm a sovereign. Well, if you're going to make a statement, you got to prove it, okay? It's far better in this form to tell them what you're not, because on that passport application from the State Department, which has exclusive jurisdiction over all matters concerning citizenship, they've only got 2 statuses listed. So why don't you tell them, we know what one of them is, and we know what the other one is. So why don't you tell them the one you're not? And then by default, it leaves the one you are.
Yeah, right.
See, so, it's like a way of approaching these things. No, it doesn't have to be all 5 pages, but you need to get those important things in there that state unequivocally what you are not. Do you carry copies of the affidavit when you hand to an officer or other individuals when it is questioned? First of all, these guys are the ones they're hiring, like coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, that have been kicking in doors and killing, machine gunning women and children. They're not going to know too much of anything. If you're going to be using the affidavit, I would say it's after something has happened, and you go in and look for an administrative remedy. And we'll talk more about that as we go forward in the weeks to come, because that's a big part of the program here is remedy. All right. Do you carry this when you are as your papers, or do you just use the passport, or do you have something else to carry? I would carry the passport if you'd received one. That is good as identification inside and outside the country. They can tap right into those databases, and it should have your nomenclature in there available to them. What would it be? I don't know. How would they react? I can't tell you. A lot of you are going to be pioneers, and you're the ones that are going to be plowing new ground. When I did this, I plowed new ground. If I was telling Jeff during the break, we would never be having this conversation tonight if I wouldn't have made the decision to move out of the country and come to Argentina. And then I knew I had to have a passport. And when I went and got it, I'd always been scared to do it. And I'm sure Francine, being a female and having a husband with poor eyesight and the other things that you're burdened with as challenges in your life, and a big bad federal government that breaks in people's houses with black suited officers and kills them, I'm sure you're intimidated. And it was when I decided to make the commitment to move and had to get that passport that this whole thing has opened up. And that's why you're listening to this tonight. So are we at the end of the show already?
They're done listening, man. We're out of time, brother.
Oh, man.
I know it. This has been a fast hour. Roger, thanks again. We'll be back another night, and we'll just pick up where we left off. You folks take care of yourselves. Lord willing, we'll see you again soon.
God bless, folks.
And I got you, yes, I got you, I got you, and all that jazz, and all that jazz.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free